I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 11. Let's see if I can write on this board. I haven't used these in so long, we're going to see, aren't we? You see the difference between those two endings?
Yes,
sir. Sure, you can see this on shortwave. I've written Axios with a long O. It looks like a W in English. And when you transliterate that, you would put it in English letters and you'd put an O with a line above it. As when the long E is used, which looks like that, instead of the normal E, if you're going to transliterate, you'd put an English letter with a line above it. Oxios. Oxios. Unworthy. With the long O, unworthily. With a short O, unworthy. One of the most abused phrases in Scripture, and it's been my crusade for these many years on television, to make traditional people feel uncomfortable when they wrongly teach out of 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul has said, "I received of the Lord what I also," and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, "what I also received, for I received of the Lord what I also handed on to you." I'll make it easy for you and read from the King James. "For I have received of the Lord," verse 23, "that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore," and the Revised Standard Version is closer, "for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim, you declare." I would go further and say, "You exhibit a hearing of faith and hang your body on it in this action, what the Lord's death means in its fullness till he comes." 27th verse, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, this is a time when the King James is accurate and still ignored. Preacher after preacher, down through the years, has read that and convinced everyone, whosoever eateth and drinketh this bread, this cup, unworthy. That's what they say. How many of you have heard that? Not from me. Growing up in the church, you've had people say, you better examine yourself. Because the phrase goes on to say, but let a man examine himself to make sure you don't partake unworthily, the King James says here. Let him eat that bread and drink that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. Same word, isn't it, in your King James, unworthily? Is that what you have? Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. How many have a little number and something in the margin or the center column that says, an alternate translation, judgment? You have that in your Bible? A one on that word damnation or some number that leads you to an alternate? Well, the word is krema. Let's write some more on the board. Krema. Now, there's something here on this that's come loose, and I've tripped on it twice. So my crew back there has got to address this when this festival's over. Sir. Otherwise, I'm going to take a dive. Krema. Translated, damnation, the King James, judgment being an alternate. Now, let me tell you, the same word will be used later in the chapter with kata in front of it. And there is a difference between kata krema and krema. Krema is temporary. Kata krema, final or ultimate. Well, this all happened to my congregation, but to a lot of you listening, it may not be. Whoso eateth and drinketh unworthily, you got that word, haven't you? Eateth and drinketh krema, temporary judgment or punishment. To himself, not discerning, not discerning the body, the Lord's body. It just says in the Greek, the body. But the reference and the syntax goes back to who is being, or whom is being remembered. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause. What cause? Eating and drinking unworthily. And the damnation or temporary punishment is, many are sick, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. A word for death, many are dead. They die of whatever that sickness and weakness is. For if we would judge ourselves, if we were judging ourselves, we would not be judged. But being judged by the Lord, we're being disciplined. That not with the world. We get this temporary punishment by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. And the word there is katakrama. So for partaking unworthily, which is not discerning the Lord's body, we are judged temporarily by the Lord in order to prevent us being judged permanently, katakrama, like the world will be. It's the only place I know in the New Testament where sickness is either allowed or caused by the Lord Himself to get our attention, to stop us from that which we're being judged for, eating and drinking unworthily. Now, I can tell you the Greek word is axios, the long O. The King James is translating properly. It is an adverb. It's not an adjective. Adjectives modify nouns and their substitutes. Adverbs modify verbs. Adverbs qualify the action. An unworthy person is not the same as partaking unworthily. Unworthy persons can partake worthily. I can't use a counter analogy because there are no worthy persons. If there were worthy persons, I would say worthy persons could partake unworthily. But worthy persons wouldn't even need to partake, and there are none. Unworthy persons, adjective unworthy, modifying the noun persons, can partake unworthily, or they can partake worthily. Unworthy though we may be as persons, the issue here is the manner of partaking. You partake worthily when you discern the Lord's body. You partake unworthily when it's just a rote liturgy, or you are partaking of these elements with your mind somewhere else and not discerning as you take these elements. This is the Lord's body, and what does it mean? Now, in transubstantiation, the priest would say something, and they believed it actually became the body of the Lord, and thus he would have to sacrifice multiply, which was based upon oracular heathen concepts of partaking of the God by eating him. It brought charges in the early days that I don't need to address right now, because at no time did Jesus imply that the bread he took was his own flesh. His flesh was yet going to go to the cross and die. It was a symbol, up until that point, a symbol of the Passover when they were delivered from Egypt and when they were healed as they ate the roasted lamb before they made the journey. And he gave the fulfillment of the Passover meaning to these elements for us to keep doing until he returns. And we are to discern in the bread his broken body and discern in the wine his shed blood. And to partake these elements, not focused in, not grabbing our minds, not understanding and seeing. When I take this bread, I am proclaiming his death, my belief in it, my running with a hearing of faith to its meaning, my appropriating to myself all that he accomplished when his body was broken in his atoning work. When I take the cup, unworthy though I am partaking worthily when I discern these elements are but a point of contact, to borrow from Oral Roberts' concept, which was right, something that focuses our mind and brings it out of wool gathering to understanding. This element as a symbol helps me to refresh myself and declare my faith that that blood shed was shed for me and was adequate to pay for my sins, and I, unworthy, am made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. And in seeing that and discerning that, I partake worthily. You partake unworthily when you fall for that speech. Examine yourself, and you better not partake unless you're worthy, because that's shifting the focus from the meaning of these elements to your worthiness. And you thus are focusing on yourself instead of Christ, and you are partaking unworthily out of the ignorant, though sincere, belief that examining yourself for your worthiness somehow lets you partake worthy. All focus must be on these elements and what they mean. And if I don't do that, the consequence is sickness and weakness and death. Now, how do I avoid that? Take worthily. Why are there two elements here? Because two things were accomplished at the cross. If the only thing that Christ did was cover our sins, all we need is the cup. But as with all types of the atonement, and I already briefly referenced the Passover, where they not only put blood on the door, but they ate the roasted lamb for strength, and there was not a feeble one in their midst when they marched forth, because God healed them. There's two elements. He was wounded for our transgressions. He shed his blood for our sins. With his stripes, we were healed. There's bread as well as wine, because both were accomplished by an act of grace. And if I discern the healing that is mine because of what Christ did, sickness and weakness goes. It was put on him. When I discern that my sickness was put on him as well as my sins, I can take this bread as I ask you to do and say, with his stripes, I was healed. And by discerning what is here, and partaking without understanding, I partake worthily and receive the benefits of his healing. Take it and say with me, with his stripes, I was healed. I've already said it for the blood. The wine is his blood, worth enough to pay the penalty for all of us, poured out for me. And unworthy though I am, I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Claim that promise and declare it as we take tonight and appropriate its benefit for the covering and cleansing of our sins in Jesus' name. Get on the telephone and rejoice for that wonderful grace from God.